None of these details that we're looking at in Daniel are going to affect your salvation. But they could affect the salvation of others, and I'll explain that later. It's good to have at least a common understanding or a general overall understanding of what we're looking at here. So in Daniel chapter 9, still not out of that chapter yet, very important chapter, bringing us into the last week in which Christ will return and the beast will be put in his place. Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. We looked at that last week. That's the crucifixion. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And that was the Romans who destroyed Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The end of it shall be with a flood. That was a flood of soldiers. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And that is not only just the battle over Jerusalem at that point in time and destroying it, but ever since, and we still talk about it and we still pray about it, and Israel is still in a battle. The battle rages on. Verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So Messiah the Prince, the anointed, expected King, and deliverer of the Hebrews, the Savior, the Christ, has been cut off. He was crucified for our iniquity and rose again to be our abundant life. John 10:10 simply says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And it's the thief that is backing up the beast. That's why he behaves the way he does. And the people of the prince who is to come. Who are the people? In A.D. 70, a flood of Roman soldiers destroyed Jerusalem. What was Rome all about? Controlling the world through political prowess and military might. That kingdom was not destroyed. It fell from within. And that's where we're at right now. In the world. Rome was a Gentile kingdom that was never conquered. So we're not talking about the literal resurrection of the old Roman Empire. We're talking about the unbelieving people of the world today that believe in the merit of a one world government. That government's actually somehow going to do it. And if the right person could be found to head it up, everything would be fine. So our current continuous failing of our elected leaders for numerous years has created a vacuum for the right person. That's what it's done. A vacuum for the right person. I'm not just talking about in Canada or even in North America. I'm talking about government that is failing today around the world at a greater rate all the time, bigger vacuum all the time. And let's face it, every year when we vote, no matter who we vote for, we hope that they will make the world a better place. I met a fellow, I may have told this story here before, and I can't remember, I won't tell you his name. But I was visiting in his home. His wife was a believer, he wasn't. And it was that time of year when we're all getting ready to vote. And he was talking about if this government leader would get in, then everything would be fine. And as a young believer, and I would still do it now, I said, well, actually, I don't think that anything's going to be fine until Jesus is ruling in the world. And apparently he got quite upset, his wife told me later. And so I went back to him and I apologized for offending him in his own home. But I said, I cannot apologize for what I said. But it highlighted that where people are putting their hope. So who is the prince? Small p. By the way, if you notice in your Bible, who is the prince to come? This is the Antichrist. Desolations would continue and have continued in Jerusalem and around the world. Matthew chapter 24. A bit of a read, but we need this for the backdrop of the whole thing. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 4 to verse 51. And Jesus answered and said, Verse 3, and now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." So these were things that have happened and are still happening. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, which will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then those who are in Judea, flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is Christ," or "there," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, "Look, he is in the desert," do not go out. Or, "Look, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, the one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. You also know, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, the one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping gnashing of teeth. And right on the heels of this, he tells the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And half of them don't make it.
Wow.
All of this is not surprising, though, because the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Not the person of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. The vacuum. We're making room. The more we fail in our efforts at becoming saviors through our political system, we're making more room all the time. From Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Then he, that small h, the Antichrist, masquerading as savior, will deceive Israel. He'll make a covenant with many. Who are the many? Daniel's people, the nation of Israel. Daniel 9:24. Gabriel, who was sent to explain things to Daniel, uses the phrase to explain who the vision is for your people and for your holy city. So that's where that's where he's going to come and make a deal. That's his in. The covenant will be for 1 week, that is, because we're speaking of weeks, and it's the sabbatical of the land that was violated. It happens once every 7 years. That's 7 years. This will be what puts the great tribulation into motion. This is the final week, which moves us from the 483 years we looked at last week to the final 490 fulfilled, the last 7 years. The Antichrist will deceive unbelieving Israel into believing that he is their Messiah through a counterfeit resurrection and military might. Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 to 4, you can read it there. We don't have the PowerPoint up today, but you have all that on the papers that came in the bulletin. And he'll make a peace covenant with them. When you go through the book of Revelation, you use the book of Revelation for reference. And when you go through the book of Revelation, you use the book of Daniel for reference. Some people call the book of Revelation 2 Daniel. Note that the acceptance of the Antichrist as their Messiah has a political and military base to it, reminiscent of the old Roman Empire. It's the same political thinking that caused them to reject Jesus as their Messiah years before. Well, what are you talking about? When Jesus came, they rejected him as the Messiah because he didn't get rid of the Roman soldiers. He should have come in, formed an army, and dismissed them. An earthly kingdom, politically minded. Even religious people live there. It's not a good place to be. Jesus didn't use military clout during his first advent, his first coming. He didn't give them what they wanted, freedom from Roman oppression. He gave them what they needed, salvation, deliverance from, here's the kicker, self. Deliverance from the kingdom of self. Oh, I love Jesus to be my Savior. Yes, perfect. But what is in that package? He's come to set us free from self-centeredness. That's the rub. That's the daily walk. He's there with us in it to move us away from it. So many thought that Jesus would conquer the oppressive Roman rulers of the day. Their thinking was that because he didn't, he couldn't possibly be part of God's plan. And we reject God's plan sometimes because, oh, that's not nice. Or that's not easy. We reject suffering today as though that's not how God works. He works through the suffering. He lets people make choices that cause them suffering. And then he's there to say, okay, would you like to try it my way this time? Or have you not had enough suffering yet? He doesn't bring it, but he works through it. He has no other choice because of the choices we make. So the Antichrist will throw Israel a bone. He will come and reunify the old Roman Empire. You know, grab his bunch of as a hood would grab a bunch of followers, a bully. So he gathered his people around him, reunified the old Roman Empire, and ensure Israel peace. Unbeknown to them, the peace will only last for 3.5 years, and then all hell will break loose. That's from the Matthew passage that we read, Matthew 24, verses 15 to 21. So when we pray for the peace of Israel, what are we praying for? Peacefulness? No, you're praying for the return of Christ, the Prince of Peace, the real Prince, capital P, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Prince of Peace. When he comes, and we'll explain some more how this is going to happen as we go along here, then there'll be that peace, the peace of Israel. Up to then, it's not going to be there. Well, it should be. Yep. I only became a believer because I made my life so miserable I couldn't stand myself anymore. I don't know what your testimony is, but that's usually the case. Somewhere we fail to the point where we finally give up on ourselves. Perfect. I have an expression. The end of ourselves is quite often the beginning of God in our lives. It will be known to them. Pardon me. It would be known to them what he was up to if they were believers. The same way it is revealed to us as we go through the book of Daniel. I think it would be safe to say that when this actually happens, they will have in their libraries, in their synagogues, the book of Daniel. You can't understand this thing if you're not a believer. You can read it, and hopefully you'll become a believer, but you'll never really understand any more than you need to repent until you are a believer. You can't read this thing. Oh, gee, I don't understand it. People who read it to try to disprove it, the first thing that happens to them is not that they understand the Bible. They understand that they need to be saved. That's what happens. And so having all kinds of Bible knowledge without having the Savior and the Holy Spirit to interpret it to us leaves us flat. We can be assured that when Israel signs a peace covenant with the Antichrist, Jesus will return in less than 7 years. As soon as that's signed, he will return in less than 7 years. We will be taken out before this time, or possibly at the 3.5 year point. Don't know for sure. Scriptures for that are on that little piece of paper, Matthew 24, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 52, 1 Thessalonians 15, 17. So, just to underline and highlight, all of the details that we're looking at do not affect our salvation one little bit. However, they may play a part in the salvation of many other people. Consider, if you will, the effect of people suddenly disappearing. One will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. One will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and one will be left. An airplane pilot just disappears out of the cockpit. Taxi driver's gone, 90 kilometers an hour. The catastrophe. The things that are going to happen here on earth. That's just phenomenal. If we have been faithful in sowing seeds of the gospel, which include the second coming of Christ, when the rapture happens, people will have a point of reference. If we don't, they won't. They won't know what happened. And I love that expression. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. Well, what did they do with Noah? They laughed at him. Seriously, Noah, you're building a boat? How are you going to get it to where the water is? And how far away is the nearest patch of water? And no, that's a big boat. We don't have enough water to float something like that. You're nuts. Don't expect anything different when you share Jesus with somebody and tell them that you're getting ready for the return of Christ when he comes and takes me out of this world. Oh, yeah, right. But when it happens, they have seriously got a point of reference. Nuts. Last bus out of town and I missed it. Almost the last bus. One school of thought is that after the rapture, there will be more people getting saved than throughout the entire church age. When you think about it along those lines, it's a, whoa. Yeah, maybe. So tell the gospel. Share the news. Keep it on the street. Keep it in your home. Keep it in your workplace, whether people are laughing at you or not. It's the point of reference. Just prior and during the time when all hell breaks loose. Many people in that period will become believers and die for their faith. Probably more than this world has ever seen yet. But it doesn't matter. Because if you, Jesus said, if you keep your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you'll find it. You'll find it. Plant the seeds, even if we're gone before they begin to sprout. Plant the seeds. So important. Of course, people will laugh. They did. They laughed at Noah. Matthew 24. Verses, I'll just reading again just for a moment, not the whole thing. Verses 40 to 42. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Eschatology is a study of the end times, and we are certainly in the middle of it. With the book of Daniel, it's important to stay focused on Christ through it all and not get sidetracked following signs. Okay, we're getting closer, whatever. Okay, so what? So what do you do if he's closer? Do you do something different? I hope not. I hope you do what you've always been doing and should be doing. If you haven't been doing it and you should be, then get with it. Signs are given to unbelievers because they're unprepared for the return of Christ. That's what they're for. No signs are given to believers. Believers are to be watchful and ready for the Lord's return. Hence the parable of the 10 virgins right after this whole Matthew 24 thing. And 5 were ready and 5 weren't. We do not stay ready for the Lord's return by walling ourselves in or isolating ourselves from the world. Christ keeps us insulated from the world and isolated from the fire to come. We are to continue to rescue people from whatever fire they may be in, like sometimes life is just burning them up, I get it, and the fire that will consume them for eternity if they do not repent and believe. That's our job. That's your job as a truck driver, that's your job as a plumber, that's your job as a brain surgeon, that's your job as a secretary, that's your job as a mother, that's your job anywhere. That's your job. Yeah, you do all this other stuff, I get that. But your job is to sow those seeds. Whether people believe or not, just because somebody doesn't believe doesn't mean you didn't sow the seed. You know, I gave up on a guy one time. I shared my story with him, and he was just as bad as I was, so I thought it would be a natural fit. And he didn't receive that at all. So I just gave up. I stopped praying for him and thought, well, he's just going to go to hell. 3 years later, he changed jobs. He saw me at Berkey's Corner. Four-way stop, and he's on the other side of the road, and he's waving me over. I'm tired. I want to go home. It's the end of the day. What does this guy want? So I pull over, and we made small talk for about 3 minutes. And then he says, so tell me more about this God of yours. He gave his life to Christ. He spent time at Cape and Ray, and now he's with the Lord. I don't know anything. Just sow the seeds. That's what we're here for. Salvation is not just for us. We're still here because it's for the world. We've got to sow the seeds. Well, yeah, but people aren't responding. Don't worry about it. After half of us, not half, but after a good portion of the world disappears, they'll have a point of reference, won't they? They'll have a point of reference. Daniel 9:27, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Judaism is simply a religious system. That's all it is. The Antichrist will bring an end to it and to all other religious systems as well, because he's the one that wants to be worshipped. Enough of the God stuff. Just follow me and I'll show you where to go. I'll tell you what to think. I'll tell you when to think it. And if you don't, and on the wing of abomination shall be the one who makes desolate. If we remember from Daniel 9:24, the last thing that Christ will do at his second coming is to anoint the most holy. The Antichrist will use the holy city, Jerusalem, as his center of operations. He is the most unholy thing to ever walk the earth. When Christ returns, the Antichrist will be terminated. Whatever he did in and from Jerusalem will end, and Jesus, the Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will give us the New Jerusalem, the final week. I don't know when. What do? We know what to do. We sow seeds. The gospel is so simple. We sow seeds as often and as broad as we can. We keep sowing seeds. In Jerusalem today, every form of religion, every nationality of East and West is represented. That is the most important place in the entire world. Always has been, always will be. Right now, it is in its desolations. We haven't seen an Antichrist yet, but we don't have to identify him to keep doing what we're doing. We don't have to identify him to be saved. We don't have to know the exact time. We've got the sequence of time. Oh, perfect. It's just like, it's so simple. It's like another season. We're coming up to spring. We're beginning to see things having buds already. I'm getting ready to prune trees. And yeah, just like that. Just like that. Just be doing what we do best. Sow seeds. Amen.